The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Thursday, the Dáil takes its summer break. They have been working so hard. So it is a nice time to reflect on the first term in office of this particular government, having been elected last November. With me to do same is Sarah McGuinness, political correspondent with the Irish Daily Mail, and Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor with the Irish Independent. So, folks, we've asked you both to kind of pick winners and losers, as it were, over the first term. And we will start with a winner in common, which is, broadly, how would I describe them? Independence, regional independence, Healy Raised, Michael Lowry, that kind of amorphous blob, Sarah.
The four stools of the coalition, as Michael Healy Ray says, taking himself and Danny out of the independent bloc. But yeah, so they have ultimately come up trumps in all of this, really. They went into it and everyone was kind of saying, oh, surely not, surely they won't be going into this with this pack led by Michael Lowry. But then very quickly emerged from the Fianna Fáil backbenches that actually that was where the preference was going. And around the time of government formation, as is the way with politics, there was a certain amount of horse trading and a certain amount of claiming victory on their side. Firstly, they got the Ceann Comhairle, they got Verona Murphy, who started out as a member of the regional independent bloc, which, as I said, was led by Michael Lowry. They got her into the coveted position of Ceann Comhairle, which is meant to be above politics. It comes with a very handsome salary of €250,000 and you're guaranteed your seat at the next election. So that was one job that they secured. They went on to secure two super junior ministries, which are basically cabinet ministers, but without holding the referendum to make people to ask people, should we have more cabinet ministers? And three other junior ministries, including Michael Healy Ray in that. But what I think is most interesting about this group is the fact that the government on one hand are saying we struck no deals with the Lowry group. Michael Lowry at the time went on radio and said, oh, no, we're going to be very central here in the programme for in the National Development Plan and in any HSE capital plans going forward. Our mark will be felt on that. And that's really that's why he's along for the ride for his constituency, so that he can keep getting his constituency deals. And whether he wants to run again or not, whoever he wants to take his seat will have pretty firm footing in doing that. So, yeah, they got their jobs, they got their constituency deals. The government would refute that, but that's what they're saying. They're able to claim the credit for that. And they also have routine access to cabinet ministers. So I would say they are delighted with themselves.
This is Minister of State Michael Healy Ray, shortly after the formation of government, talking about the role of independence.
Since Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, the regional group and the Healy Rays came together to form a government, we've heard all these words like Lowry's, Lackey's, underlings, a grubby deal. What's grubby about forming a government? What's grubby about putting your shoulder to the wheel and taking responsibility? What's grubby about getting down to working for people? There is nothing wrong with that. But people think that if they keep repeating this, they think it will stick. Well, I have news for them. They're wrong.
So that was Michael Healy Ray. Fionnán, the aforementioned Michael Lowry, there's been very little mention of him since he suggested to Paul Murphy that he needed two tickets to the All-Ireland hurling final a couple of months ago. How happy is he with how things have panned out?
He was signalling that all it takes to beat Kilkenny in a final is two points.
Yeah,
that was
a fix.
So Michael Lowry has for a long time now been somebody who plays the long game. And he doesn't let things kind of set him back. He picks himself up and dusts himself and moves on. And he was at the centre of all that furore at the start of this government being formed. And he just kept the head down, ploughed on, knew that things would move on. And they have. Now, ultimately, all of these independent TDs will be claiming that on a local level, they are delivering things such as Michael Lowry in terms of road infrastructure already. He's been claiming that more road funding has gone into the area. That was doing the same around sport, education, health, and so on and so forth. Of all those ministers who were appointed, can I point to a single initiative that one of them has come up with thus far? No, I can't, but they will all be claiming that they are delivering for their constituencies. And sometimes these things can ebb and flow. You can get a wave of votes towards independent TDs. And sometimes it can go the opposite way, where the voter's going to go, well, you know what, independents got elected last time, they didn't really deliver a lot. So it's early days yet to be able to say whether the independents have been a success story in terms of being that firmly within government. But certainly they were the winners in terms of the handouts of the jobs for the boys and girls.
All right. So our first cohort of winners. The other end of the spectrum, then, unsurprisingly, is housing, everything to do with it. And everybody, including Fiona Onn, the new Minister for Housing, who inherited, it has to be said, something of a poison chalice. And before he even got the job, it turned out the figures that the government had relied on last year going into the election were not the actual figures.
Yeah, all talk, all action, Dara O'Brien. And he was always doing stuff and there was always new plans for this, that and the other. And then in the end, it actually turns out, well, actually, Dara, but you know, you're missing a fifth of the houses that you claimed were going to be built last year. So that's been a bit of a setback for government. And you have found that in a post-election scenario, a new reality has kicked in where government is actually accepting, well, you know, 30,000 houses is actually a fairly ambitious figure to be able to deliver, yet alone getting up to 40 and up to 50. Within that has come a minister with a very different style, kind of shy, quiet and retiring James Brown, who doesn't talk himself up as much. And he had one big plan, and that was the appointment of a housing czar, which made a lot of sense. Somebody who would go in and would coordinate the different arms of the state in terms of ensuring that if you were developing housing, that you were at least able to get electricity, water and roads and planning all coordinating together at the same time. And he kind of made a bags of it. I mean, if you're going to announce something like that, A, have the name firmly in mind of who you're lining up. That seemed to be up in the air for a while. Then secondly, you've got to make sure that person has got clearance to go into the role, and also that politically you can get it across the line. And he kind of didn't. And that's a political failure on his part, that you end up with a setback so early in your career as housing minister, when you're already on the back foot on so many other issues.
Well, this is Sinn Féin President Mary Lou MacDonald in April expressing the fact that she was unimpressed with the talk around the housing czar.
Can you confirm that your new housing czar will be paid €430,000? Can you tell us how on earth you stand over this? And can you tell us, explain to us why you're recruiting a job share for your housing minister?
Sarah, where in your mind did the wheels come off, or when did they come off on the housing czar issue?
As soon as someone Googled Brendan McDonagh's salary, like literally as soon as like it was all but confirmed that he was going to be appointed, that his name was coming to cabinet, everyone instantly went, well, hold on, we're talking about one of the highest paid civil servants in the country. And is he going to be able to keep that salary? And as soon as that figure of €413,000 was out on an issue as emotive as the housing crisis, in a cost of living crisis as well, that they were done for. They were literally done for. It unraveled so quickly after that. And Fiona kind of touched on it there. And whether it's a blessing or a curse for him, James Brown does kind of give a little bit away. Like he said on RTE, Brendan McDonagh is the guy who I want that job for, you know, like he kind of lets things slip that kind of confirms what everyone is thinking, which isn't really the job of a minister. Sometimes it's actually the exact opposite of what they should be doing. So as soon as that was all out there in the open, there was no going back, I feel.
All right. OK, so if James is one of our losers or sinners or somebody at the other end of the spectrum, however you want to describe it, the other James, Jim O'Callaghan, he's one of our winners. Is he, Sarah?
Yeah, I think he is. And like, I know that a lot of people, like, you know, a lot of people are big fans of his policies and his approach to law and order in particular. Some people might think that he's too centre-right on migration, but I think there is kind of uniformity in the belief that he is a very strong and very capable minister. And he, you know, like, so he was offered the junior ministry the last time around and he kind of knew that he was too good for it. And he said, absolutely not. No, I'm going to be a TD and I will keep practicing law. And now he really has command over his portfolio in a way that I don't think anyone has seen in quite a long time. And really within Fianna Fáil as well, he is seen as a rock of a voice of reason and really the successor to Micheál Martin. This is kind of where all this comes back to. At one point, back in 2020, it was seen that Jim O'Callaghan didn't get a senior ministry position because Micheál Martin was threatened by how widely liked he was and how capable he was and how intelligent he sounded. And now that kind of seems to have gone back to the side. But I've been talking to Fianna Fáilers in the last couple of weeks, and there's definitely murmurings of, oh, Jim for leader, Jim for leader. And especially with
Micheál for the Oras.
Micheál for the Oras, Jim for leader. So, yeah, I'd say he's made a very strong impression, certainly within his party, but also I would say quite broadly along the political spectrum as well.
And he's also not, he hasn't been afraid to actually make decisions and stand over them. Which,
well, I was
going to
ask, is it the impression he's made in his portfolio as well that has him in the winner's circle?
So if you take the migration issue, which finally came back into the Department of Justice, so you had a more coherent start to finish dealing with that policy. He inherited an issue, which was the deportation planes, which Helen McEntee had actually signed off on for some reason, hadn't managed to get across the line. He was out firmly in terms of explaining not just the logistics of it, what the underlying policy behind those deportations were, the reason that we hadn't had them before and the reason why he was continuing that on as a policy. Likewise, he came in and very early he was signalling, indeed here on he was dropping hints in an interview here in News Talk, talking about accommodation for asylum seekers, this idea that you'd have super direct provision centres being built from scratch around the country. He was just saying that's not happening. So he's gone down the route and said of buying purpose-built accommodation, starting with City West, and you'd have to move on from there. And again, he's had to stand over that decision when there has been local and opposition, and also the opposition benches criticising him. On the non-order side, that's a bit early, because you know you got to see not only the legislative agenda but also the ability to have that implemented.
Yeah.
There's going to be some changes coming up obviously in the Gardaí over the course of the next 18 months, but the signals from him there, and you're kind of looking at it as well going, Fine Gael, the Law and Order party, were in charge of that portfolio for the best part of a decade and a half, and it seems to have been a complete and utter shambles. So there now seems to be somebody back on board who very much the legal profession, the justice profession seems to be out of view. At least this guy understands what's going on here.
All right. So he firmly in the winner's circle. We'll talk about health now, because health kind of appears on both ends of the spectrum, as it were. And Sarah, Children's Health Ireland, you want to talk about firmly a sinner, a loser, however
absolutely.
We describe them.
Like, talk about just bad things coming in threes. It's really been demonstrated in Children's Health Ireland. They've come in more than threes every week. Almost there is something, they are in front of the Oireachtas, or the minister is meeting with them, just because of the litany of scandals. So I'm sure most people will remember this, but obviously there were the very disturbing reports and subsequent inquiries into the spinal. It's the springs being inserted into the spines of children. The report that came out about that was damning, the fact that parents hadn't fully consented to it. They weren't provided with enough information, that the doctor in question actually lied about procuring the springs, that they were of a corrosive material. Then it was things were equally as grim when the hip dysplasia report came out, that hundreds, potentially thousands of children were operated on this truly invasive and agonizing operation, perhaps unnecessarily. That's before we get to this alleged abuse of the waiting list system and private and doctors referring patients to private clinics and making loads of money out of it. And there's also other things like, you know, the Eilish Hardiman and her position, the fact that Stephen Donnelly didn't want to keep her on at the head of CHI, and that there was essentially a legal action that happened there. So she's in this kind of, it does sound like a makey-uppy job, and earning the same salary that she did when she was CEO. So yeah, like, I mean, obviously RTE was a scandal of seismic proportions that I don't think anyone was prepared for. But I think that what's going on in CHI is much more sinister, has far deeper consequences, and will not be going away anytime soon.
Fionnuala, despite that, Jennifer Carol McNeill, kind of generally regarded as having had good innings thus far.
Yeah.
Not tainted by any of this.
Look,
yet.
Yes, but it all predates her time in office. You've yet to see how she deals with her first major crisis. And she does have policy decisions to make on things like CHI. I mean, if this organisation is going to be in charge of the biggest and most expensive hospital in the world for children, then you have to decide. There has been some politicking going on about should that come under the HSE, should it remain an independent entity. So she has some decisions to make there. She did get an early win on this issue of rostering within the public service. And she kind of orchestrated herself. She was quite clever on the opening bank holidays at the weekend. She was popping into hospitals just to see how things were going and so on and so forth. Actually, she had an ulterior motive. She was watching to see what was happening with the rosters, intervened then over the Easter period to actually get a report done that was showing there were very few consultants on, despite the fact there was a new contract in place, got that issue addressed. And suddenly there were less people on trolleys at the end of long bank holiday weekends, which were dragging out across the week. And that has translated into the opening up of inpatient appointments in hospitals across the weekend and evenings, which we're supposed to be getting this summer, which is something that was in train for quite some time, but needed a bit of a political push. Yeah. And she gave it that political push.
All right.
So it's an early win, but you often, if you're in the Department of Health, you need to be chalking up a few credit points along the way because you don't know.
You
what's
do,
on the
I guess the experience from other previous ministers for health is it's not that kind of you're the cause of crisis. It's rather your handling of a crisis that emerges is what trips you up.
How was it that Brian Cowan referred to it as Angola?
Angola House, yeah, exactly.
Angola House, you know, yeah, exactly. Like there's definitely things brewing there, and it might not be as kind of upfront as say housing, but for sure they're like, it won't always be as plain sailing.
They were the do-nothing doll, according to the opposition, for a long time because of the speaking rights row. They've got moving on legislation and everything since that's been resolved. So if you were to give them an overall grade, their performance, this particular government in their first term, Fionnán?
I would say not great. Stagnation, soundbite, squabbling were the main hallmarks of what we've seen from the last 6 months. So I'd only give them a 3, really. I mean, get on with it now, lads. You're in there long enough. We'll see what comes about. But there's still an awful lot of blaming of state agencies and individual civil servants and people who are in charge of that. And somebody should, what Bertie Ernie used to say, somebody should do something about that. It's terrible, you know.
3 out of 5, though, is it?
Oh, no. If it's 1.5 out of 5, then in that case.
Oh, right. Okay. 3 out of 10. Right. Yeah. Sarah?
I think I'm going to go with the same because ultimately I believe that, like, this is virtually the same coalition that it was the last time around. And I just think, particularly on the housing issue and the housing targets issue, I think it is inexcusable that that is the main issue and that they allied in the wake of an election about it.
Sarah McGuinness, political correspondent with the Irish Daily Mail. Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor with the Irish Independent. Thank you both. Back in a moment.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.